Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The emptiness inside, be your cover of desire. Learn to face it without pride.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Sarah Jarosz may just be 22 years old, but she's already a six-year veteran of the music industry. The singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist has performed at the Grand Ole Opry and the Newport Folk Festival, played with the likes of Punch Brothers and Bela Fleck, and was nominated for a Grammy. Sarah's just released her third album called Build Me Up From Bones, and she's about to play some of it for us live here in the studio. Here's Sarah Jarosz with Over the Edge live on Soundcheck.
The switch and turn the net on. Drop the needle on an old song. Break the ice and pour it my way. Turn the key and light the highway.
Sarah Jarosz live on Soundcheck with her song called Over the Edge, with Alex Hargraves playing the fiddle and Nathaniel Smith playing the cello and doing some backing vocals. Sarah singing, playing the octave mandolin. Sarah, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks for having us.
It looks like a guitar, at least from a few feet away, until you get up close and see that it's got the double-strung four-course of a mandolin. What's the difference between an octave mandolin and a mandocello?
Well, this octave mandolin, it was built by this guy, Fletcher Brock. And the difference between an octave mandolin and a mandocello is this is just an octave lower than a mandolin.
Right.
So it's G, D, A, E still. And the two G strings and the two D strings are octaves apart as well. So that gives it sort of
like a 12-string guitar.
Yeah, or like a bazooki, you know.
Okay.
But then a mandocello is CG. D-A, so it's like a cello would be.
Okay. Because the mandolin family is just like the violin, a family of instruments. You have mandolin, a mandola, a mandocello,
right.
Etc.
Exactly.
All right, so the octave mandolin, yet something else, something different yet again. That song has a very old kind of quality to it. I mean, the line about dropping the needle on an old song, you know, it's... I mean, I know this is sort of, you know, people have been talking about this record as having a more mature sound, but were you consciously looking to make something that had that kind of timeless sound to it?
Yeah, I actually wrote that song with my friend Jed Hughes. We did a couple of co-writes for this album. And, you know, I think we were mainly looking to kind of write a song that was fun to play, kind of rock out on. But yeah, just the image of, you know, the needle on the old song and kind of a throwback to an older time really kind of intrigued us in the process of writing that.
Have you ever, in fact, dropped a needle on an old song?
I have.
Do you own a record player?
I don't own one, but I've spent time with people who own them, and I have dropped a needle.
This is what we've come to, where a musician can actually go on the air and say, yeah, I've seen people with turntables. I've seen needles and records and all that
kind
of
stuff. I'm saving up for one, though.
So how important was it with this record to get that kind of live performance, you know, the trio in a room together and the tape is rolling?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the biggest difference between this record and my last two, you know. It has the consistency of the fact that I've been working with Gary Pichessa for all three, but I really wanted to kind of...
He's the producer.
Yeah, we co-produced all three of my records. And, yeah, you know, the last couple kind of would always start with just me going in and laying down my part and then kind of overdubbing on top of that. And I've been, you know, touring with Alex and Nat for the last 3 years, and I knew that I wanted this sound to kind of be a much bigger part of the record. So, you know, kind of we went in and tracked... a lot of it, and then, you know, I also wanted to include some special guests on top of that.
So you've got a little electric guitar, a couple of other things happening on the record as well. Now, you mentioned touring with Alex and Nat for the past 3 years, but you've been otherwise occupied for a lot of the past 3 or 4 years at the New England Conservatory of Music. How were you able to juggle both of those?
Well, you know, it's definitely a balancing act. It was definitely challenging at times doing both the kind of music career and keeping up with school. But, you know, now that I graduated in May and now that I'm finished with that, I think that, you know, I'm nothing but thankful. And I think in reality, they both kind of really fed into each other in a really beautiful way. And, I don't know if this album would be like it is if I hadn't had that experience.
So what did you go to NEC to study? I mean, you signed your first record deal at 16. You had a career in the music business already. What did you go there for?
Well, I mean, I always wanted to have the experience of going to college just in general. I didn't want to skip over that. So I went to NEC. I actually first heard about their contemporary improvisation program from my friend Aoife O'Donovan, who played in Crooked
Still.
Vocalist,
yeah.
And so that's how I heard about it. And it's just a really amazing program. You know, most of the school is a classical conservatory, so people don't really think about the CI program. But it's really gotten a lot of cool recognition over the last several years. And Rand Blake kind of was a forefront. Gunther Schuller had a lot of the idea for it originally.
Now, Gunther Schuller, you know, he's associated with that so-called third stream jazz of the sort of mid-20th century. So did you find yourself playing a lot of jazz when you were there?
I mean, not a ton, but I was definitely, like, I took classes with Rand Blake, and, you know, he would have a wide range of different kind of repertoire to learn, and it just really, you know, pushed me out of my comfort zone, and he would have me learning Billie Holiday and Abby Lincoln songs, and so that was really great, and I'm really thankful for my time there, but it's nice now to be able to just tour.
So in addition to the CI, the Contemporary Improvisation, did you study vocals as well?
Uh-huh, yeah. So, you know, in the CI program, there was a lot of freedom to kind of choose who your private teachers were, and I spent a lot of time studying with Dominique Eade. She's an incredible vocalist.
Right. And she's been here, too.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Yeah. Just keep naming them. They've all been through here.
Yeah. I mean, my main, you know, three teachers were Dominique, Hank Isnetsky, who's the chair of the Contemporary Improvisation Department, and this guy, Joe Morris, who I worked on a lot of kind of free improvisation stuff for like a year, Ornette Coleman kind of things,
wow.
which was, you know, way far from what I had ever done before.
So then what does that do for you as a songwriter and performer? You come back to playing with the boys here and you've got all this Ornette Coleman, Albert Eiler, free jazz stuff in your background all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not necessarily obvious in these songs that would be, you know, that you would call that out as an influence. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think it all kind of makes its way in there in a certain sense. And just to be stretched musically and to have my ear kind of stretched so much over the last 4 years, I think was really beneficial. And then kind of on top of all the musical stuff, I got really into poetry in my last year. I got really close to the poetry teacher at NEC, and I think that really helped with the songwriting.
Mm.
So,
well, the results are there for all to hear on the album Build Me Up From Bones, which is a poetic title. It's out now. It's the third record by Sarah Giroux, who's here with us and with her trio in the Soundcheck studio. You want to do the title track for us?
We will do it for
all
you.
All right. Build Me Up From Bones, Sarah Giroux and her trio live on Soundcheck. That is the title track from Sarah Jarosz's third and most recent album, Build Me Up From Bones. But that's not from the album, that's a live performance by Sarah and her trio here in the Soundcheck studio. Sarah Jarosz singing and playing the octave mandolin, Alex Hargraves playing fiddle, though he's now switching to guitar, and Nathaniel Smith playing the cello. The trio has two shows tonight at the Rockwood Music Hall here in New York. The first one is sold out, the earlier evening show, but there's another one at 9:15 p.m. And for our listeners at WDET, the trio is playing at The Arc in Ann Arbor, Michigan on October 10th. They're playing for us here in the Soundcheck studio today. We're hearing some live performances of songs from the new album, Build Me Up From Bones. And this next one is called Mile on the Moon. It's Sarah Jarosz.
Watch me fall. Lose the feeling of it all. I wish the night would let me in. I'm back here knocking on the
That's called Mile on the Moon from Sarah Jarosz and her trio, Sarah singing and playing the octave mandolin. Alex Hargraves switched over to guitar for that song, Nathaniel Smith playing the cello. And that also appears on Sarah's most recent album called Build Me Up From Bones. We were talking before about old songs, Sarah, and the first, actually, couple of times I heard Mile on the Moon, I thought, is she about to do a really slow Appalachian version of 25 or 6 to 4, the old Chicago song? I just, there's something about, there's a little turn in the melody, and I don't know.
That's awesome. My dad is like the biggest Chicago fan, so
okay.
I'm sure he'd like that.
Now, I mean, you do have a couple of, well, older songs on the record.
Mm-hmm.
You've done covers pretty much all, you know, on each of the records. And another Dylan cover, you do this really kind of stripped down, bare bones arrangement of Simple Twist of Fate.
Mm-hmm.
A song written, presumably, way before you were born.
Oh, yeah.
So what was the attraction there? How do you make those choices?
Yeah, well, it's funny because I wasn't originally planning on recording another Bob Dylan song two albums in a row because,
mm-hmm.
you know, we did Ring Them Bells on my last one. And I guess, you know, Nat and I were backstage at a show one time just kind of jamming. And Blood on the Tracks is probably my favorite Dylan album if I had to choose one. And we just started playing that song. Pretty much the first time that we played it is the way that you hear it on the album, just that real stripped-down version. And, you know, it was really appealing to me to include something, just the texture of that, just voice and cello. I've never really had anything that stripped down on any of my albums, so right. I thought it would be cool to include.
And the other cover is Joanna Newsom, the harpist and singer-songwriter. You do a version of her Book of Right On,
yep.
which is off, I think, her first record.
Milk-Eyed Mender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is she someone who you have kind of followed as a songwriter?
Yeah, definitely. It's funny. Aoife was the first person to tell me about her, but
yeah.
I've been a big fan for a long time, and that song in particular is just one of my favorites, so it's a fun one to play.
Yeah. Well, speaking of playing, Sarah Jarosz and the trio with two shows at the Rockwood Music Hall tonight here in New York. The first one at 7 is sold out, but there's still tickets for the 9:15 program. WDET listeners, remember that Sarah and the trio will be at the Arc in Ann Arbor, Michigan on October 10th. The new album is called Build Me Up From Bones. And Sarah, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Sarah Jarosz on Soundcheck.
They sat together in the park as the evening sky grew dark. She looked at him and he felt a spark tingle to his bones. 'Twas then he felt alone and wished that he'd gone straight.